During Megillat Rut, we're up to the first chapter, the sixth pasuk. So we had a picture of the time period. It's Shvot HaShofetim. Even the judges are being judged and found guilty. Our story takes place during the period of one of the judges. It's generally accepted that Ivtzon was Boaz. Not everyone agrees to that. There are opinions that say it was during the period of Barak and Dvorah. Others say it was during the period of Shamgar and Ehud. And we will go with the understanding that Ivtzon was in fact the judge Boaz, who married off all his children, buried all his children in his lifetime, and even buried his wife. Now, our story takes place over a period that's longer than 10 years, because we saw that 10 years passed when they were in Moabite territory. Boaz is a judge for a total of 7 years until he passes away. So that means that when they left Israel, Boaz was not yet the leader. They left and they're coming back, and on the day of their return, it's Pesach, right? It's the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. And Boaz's wife passed away, and all of Israel went out to bury her. So, Vatakom hi vechaloteha, Vatashov misedei Moav. She arose with her daughters-in-law. Why does it say Vatakom? To teach us that her downfall was an evolvement of her leaving Israel. As many commentaries learn, that it was because they left Eretz Yisrael that they actually died. It wasn't only because they turned their back on the kindness they owed their people, but the merits don't stand by a person as well in Chutz Arts as they do in Eretz Yisrael. Had they stayed in Israel, her husband wouldn't have died, her children wouldn't have died. But when they go to Chutz Arts, so things play themselves out differently there. And so now that she's returning to Eretz Yisrael, Vatakum, she arose, she is uplifted with her daughters-in-law. And she returned from the fields of Moab, ki shame'ah bisdei Moab, because she had heard in the fields of Moab, ki fakad Adonai et amo, latet lahem lachem, that God had focused on his people to give them food, to give them bread. So she's returning, she heard there's food in Israel now. And we said, either the merchants told her or an angel came and told her. So now there's food for everyone. We did this yesterday, guys. She left and we discussed that when a tzaddik leaves, it makes an impact. Her two daughters-in-law were with her. They walked down the path. They didn't have shoes. And this was the last point we discussed. Lashuv et Eretz Yehuda, to the return to the land of Judah. Vatomer Naomi lishtei chaloteha. Naomi said to the two daughters-in-law, Leich nashovna isha levet ima. You should each return to your mother's house. Ya'as Adonai imachem chesed. May God do kindness with you. Kasher asitem im hametim ve'imadi, as you have done kindness with the deceased and with me. You didn't get remarried. You financed me. You took care of me. And now she blesses them. She doesn't want them to feel like she's turning them away from Judaism out of hatred. So she gives them a blessing. She tells them, I love you. I appreciate what you've done for me. Go back to your religion, go back home to your mothers. Notice she speaks to them as though they were men. Yas Hashem imachen with the mem. She should have said imachen with you, the females. Kasher asitem, as though they were men. She should have said kasher asiten with the nun. And she's indicating that she has appreciation for the fact that they took charge, they took control of the house. And they didn't fall back and say, okay, our husband's died, we don't know what to do, we're at a loss. On the contrary, they were proactive. Yitein Adonai lachem, may God give unto you umtzeh na menucha, Isha beit isha. And may each of you find tranquility in your husband's home. So that's a big blessing. The commentaries say that Naomi was giving us an insight here. That a woman finds tranquility in her husband's home. When a woman gets married, she can settle down and have peace. When a woman's still looking and she's a widow and she's all alone and she comes home, she's got to eat her cold pizza alone or cook only for herself or whatever it is, that's not a life. Tranquility is in the home where you're building a house together. Vatishak lahen, vatisena kolnahan, vativgena. She kissed them, they raised their voices, and they started weeping. Vatomar nala. So they said to her, ki itach nashuv le'amech. They said, no, we're coming back with you. Vatomer Naomi shov na venotai. Naomi said, return, my daughters. Lama teilach na'imi. Why should you come with me? Ha'od li vanim b'me'ai v'ayu lachem la'anashim. You think I could still get pregnant? Even if I could, my sons wouldn't be allowed to marry you. Because a child is only allowed to do yibum, to marry his... Okay, guys, you got to know this. Because unfortunately, we've encountered people making terrible errors in this. We have a biblical prohibition. One is not allowed to marry his sibling's wife. And if one does, the children are mamzerim. They are bastards. They cannot marry into the Jewish people. A person is not allowed to marry his brother's wife, even after his brother passes away or divorces his wife. Now the Torah comes along and teaches us a new thing. If his brother passed away without children, so then we have a mitzvah of yibum. It's an exception to the rule. Because sometimes people don't know anything, and then they think, oh, my brother died, so I'm going to marry his widow and bring up his orphans. No, that's biblically prohibited. I'm very sorry. You can fund her, you can take care of her, you can bring up the kids. You can't marry her. And if one does, then every day is in sin, and every child is a manzer. Any child that's going to come from that. So the whole mitzvah is, if there are, the Torah taught us a new concept. If the guy dies without kids, you have a mitzvah to marry her, which today anyways our custom is we don't do that. Now, what happens if the guy died without children, and then the mother had another child, he had a brother, but they never were in the world together? That's called achiv eshet ach shelo haya ba'olamo. His brother's wife, but he never met that brother. They were never in the world together. Meaning the mother of the deceased husband, had another child. So that's what Naomi is saying. Even if I had more kids, they would be biblically prohibited from marrying you. There's no mitzvah of yibum. Yibum is only when they were both alive together. Even if he was 2 years old when his brother died. So when he becomes 13, he could do yibum. He could marry her. If he wants to, if she wants to, etc. But if he wasn't around, then he's not allowed to marry her. So that's what Naomi is telling them. Even if I had kids, they'd never be allowed to marry you. I can't offer you any more husbands. Yes?
Can we just have a custom not to follow the law? If you're talking about evil, then it's our custom not to do it nowadays.
Oh, that's a great question. So we have two mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah of yibum, we have a mitzvah of chalitza. The mitzvah of yibum is a machlokas. Is one performing the mitzvah of Yibum if he marries her for her beauty? Meaning being that it's a biblical prohibition that Yehareg Val Yavar, he should rather die than do this prohibition. And then the Torah comes along and gives him a mitzvah and says, you can marry your brother's wife, Lehakim Shem HaMet Al Nachlato, for the sake of establishing your brother's name on his heritage. And then the guy marries her because she's gorgeous, because she has a great sense of humor, because she's very wealthy. He marries her for a million other reasons. So then it could be that he's still living a life of sin. So being that that's a machlokas, and we generally go with that opinion that says, you may not marry her unless you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Now the rabbis looked and said, who's going to start saying he's pious enough and he isn't? A lot of people were doing it not for the sake of the mitzvah. You know, the guy would look her over and think, do I want her as a wife or not? He wasn't thinking about his brother. He was thinking, am I going to enjoy having her as a wife? So the rabbi said that that's not the mitzvah. And if he's doing it not for the sake of the mitzvah, then it could be he's in sin. So then the rabbi said, okay, being that we can't discern and we can't start telling people who should and who shouldn't, so we're going to revert everyone to the other mitzvah of chalitza. Everyone's going to do the other mitzvah.
What is
Chalitza is where there's a mitzvah. If he doesn't want to marry her, she takes off his shoe and she spits, and then she's free to marry someone else, he's free to marry someone else. It's a procession which we will learn about, God willing, in a few weeks. We'll see it in the parasha. Yes?
If she's talking about, or there's no way you can marry these kids anyway, if I had more sons, why does she say, oh, are you going to sit and wait for them until they're grown up?
In a minute, we'll see. That's what she's saying. There's no point in waiting, because you wouldn't be able to marry them anyways. Yes?
The pasuk about Gibum, is it connected in any way to Gibum and Fashot?
Many would claim it is, yes.
And what are the sources for that? Because in Rashi it just doesn't mention it explicitly.
Right, so in my 10 years at Machon Meir, I generally say I know nothing about Gilgul Nefeshot, and got to ask someone else.
Okay.
So I don't see a reason to change that policy now.
Okay.
So you'd bet. But that is a good place to start looking. You could look over there at the commentaries, because that is a place where you definitely have almost the most overt indication that there is such a concept.
How does that indicate there's such a thing as reincarnation?
You don't have to understand the psukim that way, but you could understand the psukim that way. The psukim say, let's see, what's the words of the pasuk? Let's go to the verse, the first time we encounter Yibam. Okay, in Parashas Vayeshev, so it says Onan, who married Tamar. Remember, Judah had three children, so the first one was Er, and he passed away without kids. And then Onan marries Tamar, right? What does it say there? Vayeda Onan ki lo lo yiyah zara. Onan knew that the children wouldn't be his. What does that mean? And then it says, when he'd be intimate with Tamar, he would spill his seed so as not to impregnate her. And levilti, what does it say over there? Vaya im ba'al esh t'achiv v'shichet arza, levilti neton zera le'achiv. So as to prevent his brother from having a seed. What does that mean? His brother's dead. So again, you don't have to understand it that way. But there's definitely an interpretation that the verses lend themselves to, which would work with that concept. But again, right? You don't have to go that route.
Let's say I was.
Wait, Uriel, we got 50 minutes and a lot to cover. So Thursday night, Bezachim. Shovna v'notai leichna, return, my daughters, go. She's going to tell them three times the words shovna, return. And from there we learn that when a person comes to convert, we try to push him off three times. Three times we tell him, try something else. Shovna v'notai lechna ki zakanti mi yot le'ish ki amalti yeshli tikva. Go back, I'm too old to get married. Even if I thought I had hope, gam hayiti halayla le'ish v'gam yalati vanim. Even if I were to wed tonight and I were capable of having more children, Halahein tisabelna. Should you really stick around and wait for those kids? Ad asher yigdalu, till they grow up. Halahein te'ageina. Anyone here have Rashi? Everyone have Rashi? Anyone? Okay, look up the Rashi on that word. Very interesting Rashi. Should you hold yourself hostage like an aguna, a woman who is not married on the one hand and cannot get remarried on the other hand, or will you be able to te'agena, like the word ogen, which means a steering wheel of a ship? Will you be able to steer yourself for so many years to take care of yourselves without a family, without having a husband? Al binotai. Don't do that, my girls. Kimali me'od mikem, because I am more embittered over you than over my own lot. Ki yatze avi yad Adonai, because God's hand has come out against me, God has punished me. Don't do that. And here we see, Naomi calls her daughters-in-law her daughters. It's one of the sources that one will feel free to call their sons-in-law and daughters-in-law son and daughter, just as the sons-in-law and daughters-in-law call the in-laws mom and dad. So we see this over and over again in Tanakh. Already in the Torah we have this concept. So she encourages them to go back. Now, if we say that Orpah and Rus never converted, so then there's no problem with them marrying the new siblings, right? The whole problem is if they were Jewish. So you asked earlier, how could they marry them? So I'm saying that would be one answer. With that understanding, that works out fine. Vatisehena kolan vativkehena od. So they raised their voices, they cried some more. Vatishak opa lachamota. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Verut davekava. But Rus clung on to her. V'na'atarot neshikot sonei. The pasuk says in Proverbs, the one who is the enemy, he gives more kisses than necessary. You always got to be careful of the guy who's extra friendly, who's extra sweet, who gives one more kiss than everyone else. Yes? Esav, right. Right. Vatomer. So now, Naomi turns to Rus. Rus has to stand it alone, and it's always harder when the guy next to you in the gear program just dropped out and said, forget it, life's better back in Oregon. Notice that word. Notice, your sister-in-law, who was also her sister according to some, she went back to her nation and her God. Guys, when I said Oregon, I wasn't insinuating anything, really. No. Okay, I notice everyone's looking. I didn't remember who's from Oregon. I'm reading the psukim. Shuvi acharei yevimteich. Go back after your sister-in-law. No, but I'm serious. I didn't mean anything. I could have said Orlando by the same token. Whatever. Okay. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vatomer Rut al tifgei bi leozveich lashuv me'acharayich. So Rus says, don't insist that I leave you, that I turn away. I'm going to convert, and it's either with you or someone else. So why shouldn't it be with you?
Is Rus then admitting that her earlier conversion maybe wasn't right?
100%. Isn't that interesting? Right. And it's also interesting that imagine what Rus was thinking. She's standing there with Naomi, barefoot, in rags, in Moabite clothing, insisting, I want to go back with you. Her sister is on her way home. And in Rus's mind, her sister is going to have a hot shower tonight. She's going to be in her parents' embrace. She's going to have that soft pillow, all the servants she used to have, the warm, scrumptious dinner she remembers with lobster and steak at her parents' castle. And Rus is standing there insistent, I'm with you. Now, it's not too much fun. She's not headed for a life of luxury. She's standing there thinking, she's going back home, but I'm doing this. This is right. Chazal tell us what actually happened that night. She went and slept with 100 non-Jews. She went after a life that was not the life of a princess. But Rus doesn't know that. In Rus's mind, she's pursuing a path and her sister just went back to the lap of luxury. Makes it much harder. So, when Rus is going to say this, she says, Ki el asher telechi eilech. She says, you know, being Jewish ain't easy. You can't just walk wherever you want. We're limited on Shabbos where we can walk. She says, I'll walk wherever you do. Uvasher talini alin. She says, you can't sleep wherever you want. We have laws of yichud. You have to be more careful about your modesty. Wherever you sleep, I sleep. She, amech ami ve'lohayich elohai. Your nation is my nation. Your God is my God. She says, you know, you're not going to be able to worship the other gods anymore. Yeah, she says, that's fine. I don't want to leave you. And it's interesting that she says, I want to follow you. And comes back, the Pasuk, in one second, the Pasuk is going to describe, if we skip to Pasuk 19, to Yotes, Vatelachna Shtehim, the two walked in unison. Our sages say that's an indication that in the eyes of heaven, the second she decided she's in the gear process for good, that's her path, there's no difference between her and the pious Nami who gets angels to come and tell her where she's supposed to be headed in life. They're equals. Vatelachna Shtehim, even though she hasn't converted yet. But okay, she tells her, you know, the courts can execute. She says, Bashel tamuti amut, I'll die your death. I'm going your path. She says, yeah, those executed by courts have a separate graveyard. It's a graveyard of shame. She says, Vishah mekaver, I'm willing to be buried wherever you get buried. Ko yaseh Adonai li v'cho yosif, I swear by God. He can continue punishing me, but I'm not leaving you. Ki hamavet yafrid beini uveinech. Only death can separate us two. Vaterek imitametzeti lalechet ita. So Naomi sees that Rus is insistent on going with her. Vatechdal ledaber eleha. And from here we learn the halacha that when a person comes to convert, after they've shown us that they're legit and they really want it, we don't look over their shoulder. We stop telling them how tough it's going to be. Vatechdal ledaber eleha is actually ruled in Shulchan Aruch that when a person comes to convert, after they've proven their sincerity, leave them alone. Even after the gear, could be they're going to make mistakes. Right, they're going to make mistakes. Leave them alone. Vatechdal ledaber eleha, they'll learn at their own pace, even though things are not going to be perfect for a number of years. Right, that's part of the growth process. Vatelach nashiteyem. So the two of them are walking. Ad bo'ana beit lachem. So they come into Beis Lechem. Did you guys learn the Megillah before with Rashi? No. I'm just at odds. Should I give you Rashi, which is the basic pshat, or other Midrashim? Rashi. Okay.
No. This is supposed to be the in depth.
Okay, so the classical Rashi pshat is that everyone was coming out to accompany Boaz with the funeral of his wife. So, you know, I always say the analogy, it's like walking into shul when everyone turns around the chododi. You walk through the door and the whole crowd turns around and sees you walking in late, right? That's not what you want to do, but it happens. That's what happens to Naomi and Rus. They think they're going to slip back into Beis Lechem. They walk into town and there's a whole funeral procession. The whole crowd sees them and everyone starts talking. Who are those? Wait, is that Naomi? She was always so pampered. She always rode on chariots. You never saw her. She had so many servants around her. Is that Naomi? So that's Rashi. The Midrash says that they walked in at the crack of dawn. And at the crack of dawn, the first day, Chol HaMoed, what do? We do the procession of harvesting the first harvest, the Ktziras HaOmer. So a number of cities, every city that was close enough nearby, they all come in for the great procession of the first harvest, which will be sacrificed, the harvest of the Omer. We count Sfiras HaOmer, we count from that harvest. So everyone's there. You have thousands of people, they've all gathered for this harvest, and in walks Naomi and Rus. They figure they're slipping in at the crack of dawn, and everyone looks up, and there's Naomi and Rus. So that's why the Pasuk says, Vayehi kevo'ana beit lechem. When they came to Beit Lechem, Vateyom kol ha'ir aleihem. The whole city became stunned over them. Vatomarna hazot Naomi. They looked at her and said, is that Naomi? She left with her husband being the giant of the Jewish people with all that wealth, with two children and being pregnant. Now she's miscarried. Now she's in tatters. Vatomer aleihen. Notice the nun. She speaks to the older women, the women of her generation, and she says, Al tikrena li Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Kirena li mara. Rather, you should call me bitter. Ki hei mar shaddai li me'od. Because God, who takes people to task when they do things that are wrong, has made my life very bitter. Ani milei'a halachti. I was full, but I left. All of you stayed in Israel, and I left Israel. See, even though I was full, I was pregnant, I had all the wealth, but I left. V'reikam. So God emptied me, and then heshivani Adonai. God brought me back on my knees. Lama tikrena li Naomi. Why should you call me Naomi? You know, we had a student here who was very successful. For 4 years he was learning, he got married, and then he had a hard time making a living. And he said he wants to go to Chutzlitz, and his wife didn't want to go, and I begged him. I said, you know, we got to work a little harder, and we'll make the breakthrough. Don't give in now. And he said, no, I'm going. And I said, what do you have to look for in the United States? And he said, I'm going back to the military. And I said, you have a wife, you got to build a family. Now's not the time for that. You can't go back to the military. You got to stay here and make it work. And there was no one to talk to. And his wife begged him, and he wouldn't stay. And I said to him at one point, it was probably our last conversation, I said to him, our last conversation face to face, I said to him, you know, you're assuming you're going to go there and come back with money. And this, he was going to Iraq, he was going to Fallujah, he was going to dangerous places, Afghanistan. I said to him, I'm not so sure you're going and you're coming back with 2 feet. I'm not sure if you're coming, if you're coming back, and if you come back with 2 feet, or if you come back in a casket. No one's guaranteeing you you're coming back. You, what you know is you're making a decision, you're leaving. And like I said, there was no one to talk to him then. And he came back in an urn. They had burnt, they cremated his body. There was nothing left of him. I wasn't cursing him. I was just telling him, you know, when you leave, very often you leave with anticipations and hopes. You think, I'll be in Chutzlitz, that's where I'll make a mint. He didn't make a mint. Naomi says, I left, right? I thought times were tough here. I thought if I go there, I'll salvage all my wealth. Look at what I have waiting for me in Chutzlitz. Over there, things are good. Here, there's a famine. I'm losing all my wealth. Naomi says to the people, look, yes, mele'ah, I was full. But halachti, I left. And that's one of the messages of the Megillah. V'reikam heshivani Hashem, and God brought me back empty. Lama tikre nali Naomi, why should you call me pleasant? V'adonai anavi, v'shaddai hechali. God has given testimony that I'm not such a pleasant person. Look at what God has done to me. Obviously, I deserved it. And here we see the piety of Naomi. We see it in two places. Earlier we read a pasuk that I can never get over. It haunts me all year. We read Rus once a year. This is a pasuk I take with me all year. Naomi looks at Rus and Orpah and says to them, she says to them, Ki marli me'od mikem, the 13th pasuk. To my mind, that's one of the most pious pasukim in the Tanakh. She says, I am most embittered over you. The way a normal person reacts when life is tough, they become embittered over themselves and they can barely sense anyone else's pain. The more life has turned on a person, the more things are difficult for a person, the less they sense other people's pain. Naomi has lost her, she's miscarried, she's lost her 2 children, she's lost her husband, she's lost her wealth, she's down to nothing. She doesn't even have a slice of bread. And yet she could honestly turn to Rus and Orpah and say, I am most embittered over you. What bothers me most is what you two have undergone. You know, sometimes you read a pasuk and you say, I could do that. But when I read this pasuk, it's like, wow. She could be at the depths of her misery and say, but I care more over what you guys have gone through. And she's not just saying that, right? Vatashov Naomi. So Naomi returned. Ve'rut ha-Moaviyah ha-chalata imah. And Ruth, the Moabite, notice she's again being called a Moabite, her daughter-in-law returned with her. So even though they were shamed, everyone looked at them. Nonetheless, they're now going to live in this dire poverty and shame. They could go back to Moab, where food was cheap. They don't regret it. They don't say, hey, wait a second, this is too tough on us. Let's go back to Moab. We have your dad, Rus. He'll give us an open check. So we'll live off of the funds of the Moabites. No, it says Ruth was with her. And we're going to see that this princess is going to have to go out and collect charity. She doesn't regret it. She says, I'm here, and this is where I belong, and even if it means I'll be here in poverty. והמה באו בית לחם בתחילת קציר שעורים. They had come to Beit Lechem just as the harvest of the barley had begun on Pesach. And the Pasuk reiterates, and Rus, who returned with her from the fields of Moab, to tell us that Rus did not spend her time thinking, I would be much better if I were back there. Rus was with her, and Rus was with a complete decision. This is my move, this is my place in life. And I think everyone here understands the sentiment and the weakness to think back to how cheap a laptop was there, how cheap any basic electronics, you know, you get a phone cord for $1. You get a phone cord here for 20 shekel, saying that's like 5 times the price or more. Saying there are little things that you look at them and here the Navi is teaching us the way a person is supposed to make aliyah. Rus is here, she's going to live in dire poverty, and she knows she has everything waiting for her back in Moab, but she's whole with it. Yes?
Is there...